following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You're listening to theflypod.com. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, and we're coming to you exclusively through the magic of our new media program feeds on theflypod.com New Media Network. We are the nation's premier new media source. If you have an iPod or any standard MP3 player, you can subscribe for free and begin automatically receiving our programs. Visit our website to subscribe, www.theflypod.com. We podcast daily to the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and are your source for local world, time-shifted MP3 audio podcasts. My guest on today's show is Esther Thorson. She is a professor and associate dean for graduate studies and research at the University of Missouri School of Journalism at Columbia, Missouri. She is also co-author of the book Advertising and the World Wide Web. She is a very knowledgeable professional in the field of journalism, and I've asked her to come on our show to provide some insight into why newspapers have experienced such a radical decline in readership numbers in recent decades. Esther, welcome to my show.
Thank you, Gary.
I have read in some research articles that only 39%, and that's not exactly a great number, but 39% of the public believe newspapers are moral. I mean, there seems to be a loss of trust, and it's created a credibility problem. I mean, that's a pretty strong statistic, somewhat disturbing. And this may seem like an odd question for me to ask you, but is journalism still a respected profession?
Well, of course, it depends on who you ask that question to, but you're right. Credibility of newspapers is at an all-time low. What's really interesting about that fact is that local television news is much higher in terms of credibility, even though it's quite clear that the real workhorse of doing quality journalism is the newspaper. So it's an odd situation, and certainly one that newspapers should be worrying about all the time.
In the past two decades, to what extent have newsroom teams been cut, and what effect has this had on the quality of news reporting?
Well, from 1992 to 2002, that decade, there was about a 5% loss in personnel in newsrooms, professional journalists. But since then, the pace of the loss has really picked up. So you have huge losses in quality newspapers like the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, and so on. So there's no question but that with economic tension, the first thing the newsrooms do in America is they cut their journalists.
Has this also affected smaller, more local or regional newspapers as well as the big papers?
It has, not as badly as the large newspapers. Newspapers that are under about 1,000 or 100,000 circulation have lost, they've probably lost a good 10% of their professional journalists. And more, the crisis with the big newspapers is working its way down to the mid-size and the smaller dailies.
Mm-hmm.
The one group of newspapers that has not been affected yet and is still a very healthy situation is for the weeklies. Weeklies haven't really been affected much at all.
Oh, so there is some good news in all that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How much of the decline in the newspaper readership numbers can be attributed directly to the internet? I mean, specifically in the form of, I mean, nowadays we have citizen journalists, bloggers, and now the latest technology, new media podcasting. How have these viable technologies impacted the papers? Have they played a part in this?
Well, they certainly have. It's hard to say exactly because there are a lot of things going on. The research that we've done shows very clearly that over the last 30 years, there's been this constant dribbling away of newspaper circulation every single year. About 1% a year of circulation disappears. So readership has been falling for a long time. Now, that readership loss has really accelerated with the coming of the digital media. And I think we're going to see it, you know, become even a greater loss as we look at more and more massive movement to digital media for news. And more importantly, we're seeing massive movement of advertisers toward that digital environment. Seeing automotive advertising, real estate, and classifieds in the last 12 months has been phenomenal.
Wow. In the past, newspapers were, I don't know, pretty much local or regional monopolies, and being more or less the only show in town historically, do you think they ran their businesses with perhaps more complacency or less management sophistication than that of a typical business? I mean, without competition, it seems natural that anybody would become a little less motivated and concerned about forces that are going to impact their operation. I mean,
no, you're absolutely right. Being monopoly leads you to be non-competitive, and you just, you know, you don't care. What happened is that when newspapers started selling out and going public on Wall Street, 10% profit margins no longer were particularly pleasing. So what happened was they moved in a bunch of MBAs, and it was very easy for them, particularly as the old families that used to own newspapers left and sold out to big conglomerates. It was very easy for these MBAs to really increase those profit margins, sometimes to as high as 40%. So they became profit-generating machines. And what was interesting about that is, in bad years, rather than cutting back on those profits, they simply harvested the money they needed to maintain those profits out of their newsrooms. And so, you know, that's a big part of what happened to them. And this is before the internet became the giant competitor. This is just the way they were doing business. Whereas most big corporations track their budgeting decisions quite closely, they know exactly how much money, profit, they generate from every bit of investment into every aspect of their business. Newspapers, neither then nor now, have any idea.
Well, what have the newspaper publishers and managers current day been doing to control this financial hemorrhaging that's taking place at the newspapers? What actions are they taking?
Anything, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm somewhat hopeful because there are some pockets of innovation across the United States. So people are really trying to come up with some new ideas for making money, new ways to get young people to start reading newspapers and so on and so forth, and certainly efforts to move to the digital environment where hopefully they can be part of the whole revolution as opposed to, you know, irrelevant pieces of paper being dropped in some people's yards. So there is that going on. But in terms of financial sophistication, really not much of anything. Budgeting is done in a way that appears to me to be mostly intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you compare them, you know, to how really great companies, Procter & Gamble and Kellogg and Ford Motor and et cetera, to how they do their budgeting, it is way more sophisticated.
Well, what I've noticed is in many smaller community and smaller city newspapers today, the percentage of column print space dedicated to advertising keeps getting higher and higher as the percentage of the paper dedicated to actual meaningful news seems to be shrinking. Do you think this move to maintain profits and bring in revenue in the end will ultimately hurt their efforts to improve their quality?
Well,
I mean, why would somebody want to ultimately buy a newspaper that's mostly ads?
With advertising. There's two responses I want to make to that. One is that people read newspapers as much for the advertising as for anything else, and that's one of the things our research showed quite clearly in the econometric modeling that we did. Advertising in a newspaper is not bad. But the other point is that the total amount of space in newspapers is shrinking like mad. You know, the actual size of the sheet is getting smaller, and the number of pages is dropping drastically. Now, part of that in the last few months has been because they tend to go digital, and so they're figuring the print product will be less and less important. But prior to that, the loss of space for news and advertising was directly related to the demand for profits. So what they were doing, and here's the key, I think, to understand. In the past, newspapers had something in there for everybody. It didn't matter if you were a science geek or you were interested in drama or rock and roll or what have you. There was something in that newspaper for you. But as they lost more and more personnel in the newsroom, they didn't have the people to go out and find the stories and make the stories about all those topics. It's more stereotyped and content than they ever were before.
So the people who remain become really overworked. I mean, they're pressed.
Absolutely overworked. And you get more mistakes. You get stories that are not as in-depth. You get more stereotyped stories because it's way cheaper to, you know, you get a fire, somebody runs out and covers the fire. That's real easy and cheap to do, right? But a deep, analytic, investigative piece about corruption in your local government, that takes somebody a long time to put together, and that's the stuff that we're losing most quickly.
It's sad.
It's very sad. It's scary for the democracy because democracy depends on flow of information about local communities and about more global communities. And if you don't have that information flow, then people are not going to be able to make smart decisions about how to govern themselves.
We live in a world, of course, of increasing on-demand news coverage. Basically, people want everything now, and they want what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. I mean, it has to do a lot with this instant coverage idea, but how can newspapers ever compete with this? I mean, are the good times kind of over?
Well, newspapers, I think most of the with it newspapers are becoming 24/7, just like the cable stations were. I mean, 24/7 news really sort of knocked the pins out of the way we thought about news, because you're exactly right. People want it when they want it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if the event just happened and we don't know what it means, get something out there, which means there's a lot of junk out there, of course, which is kind of a bad thing. But I think newspapers are catching on to the fact that people are not going to wait till tomorrow morning to find out what happened today. And so the digital environment will let them do that. But, you know, what's interesting and kind of scary to me is that if you look at traffic, news traffic on the Internet, it's not going so much to newspaper sites or even local television news sites. It's going to the aggregators, you know, Google, Yahoo, and those kinds of organizations. And where do they get their news? Of course, they suck it directly out of professional news organizations. That's, well, you're really going to have to turn that around. I think the New York Times is a good example of turning that around and actually being able to make money off their digital sites. And certainly the Wall Street Journal has been quite successful. For most newspapers in the United States, their digital product just does not pay the bills. It doesn't fit with how things work in a newsroom. You know, a newsroom is set up for the evening deadline to get tomorrow's paper out. So if you're kind of deadline-oriented like that, the idea of an event happens and boom, you've got something on the Internet immediately, it's just very foreign to these people. And having to relearn it is truly a challenge that they are going to have to take on.
Well, let me ask you this. In general, would you say that newspaper publishers and managers are resistant to partnering with new media technology companies?
I would say 2 years ago they were. But I think most of them now, if you go to the national meetings and you hear what people say, they know they got to get on the train, and in fact they're late. But the challenge for them is, you know, they run very large organizations whose behavior is very complex and whose tasks are very stereotyped. You know, and to tell a 40-year-old woman who's been writing stories for 15 years that suddenly her whole work job is going to have to look different, that's a problem.
Well, change is not easy.
No, it's not easy for any of us.
It can be very it can be very painful. But it just seems that if they could partner up with new media operations, I mean, even if they did a blended form of, oh, let's just call it simul coverage of stories, I mean, to me, that seems like it would be a positive thing. It would kind of enhance their image in the public's eye, I would think.
Well, I think there are two things for newspapers, two of, among many, but two that I'm pretty excited about that they can do and I think they're going to do. One good example is Minnesota Public Radio, and what they've got is they have rigged up a very fancy technology system that allows news listeners to actually participate in the creating of stories. You know, so they say to people, we're going to write a story on, you know, how to save all the little towns that are withering away in northern Minnesota. And then all kinds of people come in with ideas about what we could do, what's been done elsewhere, and those get integrated into the stories. I think that's very exciting because consumers want to participate in news. They know what they know, and they want to contribute.
I agree.
So I think that's a really great idea. I think the other idea that's very exciting is this notion, really, of startup companies. You know, all kinds of organizations across the country are saying, you know, our local news organizations are just not providing the information we need. We will become the news organization. Real exciting experiments out there, and if people are interested in that, they should, you know, definitely do some searches for what local news can look like in their own organization, in their own, actually, community.
So we can definitely look for some changes in the face of print news. That's a fair statement, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're going to start to see some much more exciting action web-wise. I mean, I think news professionals, you know, they are really the very best at, you know, identifying news, analyzing news, figuring out what it means for communities and so on and so forth. And once they start getting onto the tools, you know, using video and having chat rooms and interacting with their readers and their viewers, I think you're going to see some really neat new forms of news, which are hopefully going to attract young people, attract people who have sort of rejected the news, and attract people who think that news is no longer credible.
Well, those things sound exciting. Really, truly, I think if they can get the lid off of this thing and engage more people, as you say, what I would just call a depth of engagement on the part of the listener, reader, viewer, whatever.
Well, I agree with that, and I think it'd be great if newspaper companies can survive. But on the other hand, I think it'd be even better if our democracy can survive. And without some massive changes in the news business, we're going to be in big trouble.
Mm. Esther, I would like to thank you for coming on my show today.
I really enjoyed it.
You've provided some great perspective on the state of print news. Hopefully the medium as an industry can get their act together, merge with the proper technologies, and come out winners. And the democracy to boot.
That'd be great.
Well, thanks for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
Well, that's my show for today. I am your host, Gary Puckett, coming free and clear to your iPod or MP3 player through our new media network program feeds on www.theflypod.com. Thank you for listening, and tell your friends and family about the Flypod New Media Network. So long for now.